God's Word is filled with paradoxes. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July provides lenses to evaluate and bring clarity to these paradoxes. It's titled, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Faith That Sees Through the Culture, 1-800-325-3040. Great hymn, O Morning Star, how fair and bright, and in the stanzas of that lovely hymn, it is evident that there is a theology at work there, an idea at work. Christ is our bridegroom, the church, we his bride, and as bride and bridegroom do, there is at some point a union that takes place. We would speak in human terms of the one flesh union. Of course, the flesh here now is Christ himself given in the flesh and the blood in the sacrament. We're talking about a marriage, and we're talking about a union. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the mystical union. It's a term that might sound, well, mystical to you. It might also sound unfamiliar to you. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. In hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Ken Cher will discuss the Declaration of Independence with Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College. Joining us to talk about the mystical union, Pastor Will Whedon, a regular guest, director of worship, and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio show called Thy Strong Word, and he is author of the books Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, and Celebrating the Saints. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's a joy to be with you, especially to talk about this topic.
We've been talking off the mic about this topic for years and years.
It's like one of our longest running discussions.
I think so. But at first glance, someone hears the mystical union and they think this just sounds like something from Rome or from Eastern Orthodoxy. It doesn't sound like anything that would be have anything to do with Lutheran theology, Reformation theology.
Yeah, and that is such a shame that people have come to think of it that way. We can sort of understand where the move happened. If you go back to the time of the Reformation, you remember there was the fellow named Osiander. And Osiander, he had this really interesting idea that what you're going to be justified by is by the Christ who dwells inside of you with his essential righteousness, that this will be your justification before the Father. And the problem with that whole way of thinking is it ends up making justification be as wobbly as it ever was in Rome. You're never quite sure then about the progress of your justification if it's really about the indwelling of Christ. And the Lutherans at the time of the Reformation very clearly marked that off, said, nope, Osiander got that wrong. That's not how it is. It's Christ. Your justification before God is always going to be crystal clear. Christ for you, what he has done for you by his suffering, his death, his resurrection, the salvation that he won for you, the forgiveness that he gives to you. This is actually very clear in the teaching of the church. Think about St. Augustine saying, look, we have to remain under God's pardon until the end. If we didn't, we would be tempted to pride. So all the way to the end, it's going to be living under the pardon of God. But once you've got that clear in your head, okay, so we're not talking about justification. We are talking about what it is to live in Christ. what we might call the life of sanctification. And that's where the mystical union kicked in. And it was a huge theme for the old Lutherans. I specifically asked for this hymn, Morning Star, because the author of this hymn, Philip Nicolai, in his unbelievably great book that I think somebody's working on getting into English, really should be, A Mirror of Joy to the Soul, he unpacks the mystical union of Christ and his bride, the church, and the joy and the peace and the celebration that's ours because of Jesus Christ and the way that he indwells the believers. This is not what justifies us, but it's the content of the life of the justified. Big difference.
Do you think, and we got a couple preliminary questions here before we kind of start teaching the thing. Do you think also the rightful emphasis in Lutheran theology on extranos, there's a little more Latin there, that our certainty, our assurance always lies outside ourselves. You were just talking about that with Osiander. Do you think that rightful emphasis there has caused us, even people who don't know the name of Osiander, to say, nothing goes on inside us?
Yeah, I mean, there's that temptation to do that. And then, of course, you start reading the New Testament and you go, oh. It's all over the place, right? I mean, do you ever notice that in Colossians, Christ, Paul does not say, and the mystery is Christ for you, the hope of God. He doesn't say that. He says the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so there you can't read the New Testament and not have this indwelling. In fact, let's just sort of, if we can, even back up just a little bit. I think the best way to actually start thinking about it at all is to listen in as Jesus prays his what's often called the great high priestly prayer that's recorded in John 17. Just listen to some of these words, right? He begins this amazing prayer with, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You've given him authority over all flesh. What's the authority he has? To give eternal life to all whom you've given him. What's eternal life? To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I've glorified you on earth. I've accomplished the work you've given me to do. Amazing statement for him to make before the cross, before he says, it is finished. That is in this gospel too. But then glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have with you before the world existed. Then things get to be very interesting. He says, I manifested your name to the people you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they've kept your word. Now they know that everything that you've given me is from you, and I've given them the words, plural here, the words you gave me, and they received them. And I've come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So, I mean, extra knows. Here's the word. I gave them the word. The words came out of the Father. He gave them to the Son. The Son brought them into our flesh and gave them to the disciples. And through the words, they came to believe and to know the truth. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for the world, but I'm praying for those whom you've given me. They're yours. All that's mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. I'm not in the world any longer. They're in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So here's this introduction of this one talk. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you've given me, with the name Father, so keeping them as children. I've guarded them. Not one of them has been lost, except the son of perdition, the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I'm coming to you. I speak these things in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In other words, my joy inside of them. I've given them your word. The world has hated them. They're not of the world. I'm not of the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world. Just as I'm not of the world, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. And I consecrate myself that they may be sanctified in truth. And then get this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, there's your extranosis again, through your word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. This beautiful language then of Jesus, of becoming one, us, as the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. There's a term in theology for this. The Greek word is perichoresis, this inner penetration of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So whenever you're dealing with any person of the triune God, it's not like you can pull out the other two and say they're not involved, right? You know, who created the world? God the Father. Of course he did. Well, yes, but also God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, because you don't have Father without Son. You don't have Father and Son without Holy Spirit. They always run together because they interpenetrate each other. Their lives are together. His joy is the joy of the Father is the joy of the Son is the joy of the Spirit. The love of the Father is the love of the Son is the love of the Spirit. It all flows together. They have their life in each other. And this picture then that he's praying for, he's praying that this may be ours, that this joy that's inside of the Trinity, that it may come to live inside of us and that we might learn to live inside of it or inside of them more accurately.
Okay, so here's a problematic term, and it comes in the way we phrase this, mystical union, which is the traditional language,
right.
But mystical has come to mean something a little different than it meant to the 16th century reformers.
Yeah. People hear do. I mean, they're mystical. They're hearing something, you know, like, I don't know, Twilight Zone.
Mysticism.
They're hearing
this kind of obsession with the inner spirituality, looking within oneself, all those things that Mark mentioned.
Forgetting that it is the New Testament word for sacrament, right? I mean, the sacrament's the sort of the alien word, the Latin word, but, you know, Paul will speak of being a steward of the mysteries of God. You know, the mysteries there being the sacraments. So when we talk about the mystical union, we are talking primarily about a union that is achieved between the Lord and us through his word and his mysteries, his sacraments. The mystical union is that which is given to us by the mysteries, by the gift of the sacraments.
Okay, so could we call it a sacramental union?
And the problem is we've hijacked that word for another term, right? Yes. I mean, we could call it that, but we know we use the word sacramental union to describe the relationship between the body and blood of Christ and the bread and wine of the supper. But there's a real analogy there, just the same way that the body and the blood of Christ are become sacramentally one in the supper. So through the sacrament, Jesus in his body and blood joins himself to us, becomes one with us to give us a share in his very own divine life.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on the mystical union. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's director of worship for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod and host of the radio show called Thy Strong Word. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the divine service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org. That's ascensionofchrist, all one word, .org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. Hardly hear that stanza without thinking about our subject for today, the mystical union of Christ with the believer and with his church. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Okay, so we've kind of swept away some of the, we've introduced the idea basically, we've swept away some of the misconceptions about the mystical union. This then begins to emerge as a pretty big deal. This isn't some little sideline in the economy of salvation.
No.
This is kind of what Christ wants to accomplish,
yeah,
both now and in the age to come.
Yeah, it's certainly something he is beginning in our lives right now. It will come to perfection and completion only in the age to come. But right now, you actually have a very real participation in this union. And this real participation is indeed given to you. Extra nos comes to you from the outside in, but it does land in. What's landing in is Christ and the Holy Spirit. And wrapped up, Christ wraps himself up in forgiveness so that his coming to you can be the advent of life and of joy and of light. Well, the way it was described here in this just stands, you know, come heavenly bridegroom, light divine, and deep within our hearts now shine their light aflame, undying. In your blessed body, let us be as living branches in the tree. There it is, you know, that beautiful picture. And this past week, the church just celebrated the visitation, if you're using the one-year series. And in the one-year series for the visitation, listen to this prayer. This is so amazing. Visitation commemorates the coming of Mary to visit Elizabeth when John the Baptist confesses Christ before he's even born in his mother's womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and confesses Mary to be the most blessed of women. Here, listen to the prayer. Almighty God, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son and made known through her your gracious regard of the poor and lowly and despised. Grant that we may receive your word in humility and faith, and so be made one with Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Think about Mary carrying him in her body, becoming one with him as his mother, right? You know, his heart beating underneath her heart. This physical entering in of the Son into human flesh, which literally is accomplished in Mary, he wants to accomplish in all of us, which is another way that St. Leo the Great said that the sacraments are merely the continuation of the incarnation. You know, it's just seeing the same thing. And this drives us then to this glorious extranos point of what happens when he comes to us sacramentally. And is it okay to sort of run through some passages
on this?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay. There's so many that I would love to take time on, but I don't know if we have time for all of them. I want to give Martin Luther the head start, though. One of the most beautiful things he says, to give a simple illustration of what takes place in this eating, that is, in eating the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. It is as if a wolf devoured a sheep, and the sheep were so powerful that it transformed the wolf and turned him into a sheep. So when we eat Christ's flesh physically and spiritually, the food is so powerful that it transforms us into itself, and out of fleshly, sinful, mortal men makes spiritual, holy, living men. That's in his great This Is My Body treatise. That nails it. He's going to literally, he comes to us to transform. How many times have you heard people say, he loves you just the way you are? And that's true. He does. And he loves you entirely too much to leave you that way. So he comes to you to transform you from the inside out, to give you, by union with you, a share in all of his own inner life, his joy, his peace. He comes that it all might become yours.
This is something that I think other confessions of faith kind of try to grasp at. Sometimes they grasp too far. Sometimes they grasp too short. The evangelical will talk about Jesus in my heart. They use that kind of as a picture. And we as Lutherans have kind of come to mock that. Well, there's absolutely no doubt that Scripture speaks in terms of the Spirit indwelling us, and therefore Christ by his Spirit and his Word indwelling us. Let's deal with that one first, that we don't fall off the other side of the horse. Just because the evangelicals are mystics doesn't mean that we should be denying the mystical union.
Right, no. Oh, we certainly do not want to do that. And we also need to recognize that when the evangelicals talk that way, there is biblical truth behind it. Listen to these words of St. Paul. In Ephesians 3, he says, for this reason, verse 14 and following, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. The word father and family in Greek are the related words. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And we can't leave to people like, Oral Roberts, the great joy that you had in John. Remember how he would say in 1 John chapter 4, this is one of Oral Roberts' favorite passages, but I mean, there it's in God's word, and it's one of the greatest ones. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God does dwell in his people. He dwells in them, and that is a source of great transformation in their lives, right? Everything that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to be like the branch. You need to abide in the vine, and then the life of the vine will literally flow into you, and you will be filled with the juice of the vine, the life that's inside of the vine. That can only happen as you are connected to him, that his life flows into you.
Another one to respond to here is kind of the attempt at this that is made. I think they do a lot better job, perhaps, than evangelicals do. That is among the Orthodox, who will speak about, what's the technical
theosis
term? Theosis or divination. Or those kinds of things.
And I want to stress, we've talked about this again many times in the past too. Luther was not opposed to using the language of divination. He did it more than once. Let me give you a few examples from him on this. You're going to hear he's not. All right, let me back up. Before I get to Luther, let's deal with Athanasius. Okay. Athanasius very clearly taught that God became man so that men could become gods. And we hear that and immediately all of our alarm bells go off and we say, that sounds like Mormonism or something weird, right? All it takes to fix it in your head is to insert the same terms on either side. God became a child of men that men might become the children of God. And all of a sudden people are hearing like, oh, well, yeah, that's right. Well, what's the difference? There is no difference between the two, except that we want to be clear on this. And the Orthodox are clear on this. All the ancient fathers were clear on this. You become a child of God by grace, not by nature. It's not like that you come to share the divine nature in that way. The divine nature always remains in itself incommunicable, right? But he truly, in Christ, comes to you to make you be a child of God. And everything that is Christ's as the Son of the Father, he comes to give over to you, that you become the heir. This is the whole theme of Galatians. And it's not by accident that the Luther quotes I wanted to get to, he's really big on this in Great Galatians. Let me share a few of them with you. "Christ therefore, saith he, thus joined and united unto me, and abiding in me, liveth this life in me, which I now live. Yes, Christ himself is this life, which I now live. Wherefore, Christ and I in this behalf are both one. This union or conjunction, then, is the cause that I'm delivered from the terror of law and sin, am separate from myself and translated unto Christ and his kingdom, which is a kingdom of grace and righteousness, peace, life, salvation, eternal glory. While I thus abide in him and dwell in him, what evil is there that can hurt me?" That's on 220. And furthermore, on 220, he said, "Now concerning justifications, Christ and I must be entirely conjoined and united together, so that he may live in me and I in him. And this is a wonderful manner of speech, because Christ lives in me. Look now what grace, what righteousness, what life, peace, and salvation is in me. It is his, and yet it's mine also, by that inseparable union and conjunction that is through faith, by the which Christ and I are made, as it were, one body in spirit." Just an amazing statement. It really, I don't know how far we want to go off on that rabbit hole. The Finns had a big aha about this with Luther's understanding of deification. And they turned especially to Great Galatians. They heard it, though, in contradiction to what's in the formula of Concord, which is nonsense. Because the formula of Concord, when it's dealing with the whole topic of justification, says we don't have time to deal with everything here. For the rest of it, just go read Luther's Great Galatians. He nails it. So, you know, it's not nearly as... I don't believe at all that they are intention. Those two things are united. Justification is what gives you this gift. The gift of Christ in you. And Christ, it's not that Christ in you gives you the gift of justification. Keep it straight. Justification gives you the gift of Christ in you. And Christ, well, you know, the way Luther explained this, he did so beautifully. He's basing it on a passage in Romans 4, that there is grace, the gratis, and there's the donum, a gift in the grace. Grace, he says, this is the forgiveness of sins. That's for your whole life. But inside that gift that's given to you, there is the gift of the Holy Spirit, who then begins this work inside of you of renewal. And this happens through Christ dwelling in you. This is literally the path.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're talking about the mystical union on this Thursday, the 5th of July. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is host of the radio show called Thy Strong Word, and he's author of the books Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, and Celebrating the Saints. You'll find a link to both of these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and ask for both Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and Celebrating the Saints. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back. I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
LCMS National Housing Corporation is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to LCMS National Housing Corporation. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armed forces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. Stanza 3 of O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. We're talking about the mystical union. Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. You had more passages, more material to take us through.
Yeah, I mean, there's, part of me just wants to comment on that hymn too, because I mean, look at that. Warm and cheer us. Oh, draw near us. Again, he enters into us in the Eucharist to bring to us this warmth of divine mercy and love that are the transforming elements of our lives. I mean, it is not the case that the mystical union is the result of your efforts at sanctification. It is the case that any efforts at sanctification on your part are the result of the mystical union of him coming into you and warming you and transforming you from the inside out. All right, some other great passages. Martin Chemnitz was a powerful teacher of this. It had to be engaged when he dealt with the falsifications of the Lutheran position that Trent set forth. So he writes in his examination of the Council of Trent, this is from the first volume, "Men are to be admonished that they should, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh, and firmly adhere, that is, say, stick to, Christ by faith, and through the use of the word and sacraments, extra nos, become more and more united with him, and seek from God the gift of perseverance, and wrestle, lest the wantonness of the flesh drive out the gift of perseverance." So he sees the Christians working, if you will, by the grace of God to become more and more united with Christ. This is one of the ways he's able to describe it. In his volume 2 on the examination of the Council of Trent, he says, Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, in the Lord's Supper, bread and wine, that they should be the means or instruments through which he wishes to offer and communicate his body and blood to those who eat, in order that he might be and remain in the believers, not only through faith and spirit, but as the ancients speak, also by natural or substantial participation, and might therefore be united to them more and more. This picture of ever drawing closer, of him being united more and more, that his joy becomes your joy, his peace, your peace, growing more and more.
I noticed something there in Chemnitz. Mm-hmm. He starts out talking about Christians drawing near to Christ through his word and sacraments. And then he ends kind of in the passive, not the passive voice, but then Christ is drawing nearer and nearer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to see those two things in conflict.
No.
He doesn't seem to say Christ draws near to us, which somehow precludes us drawing near to him. It sounds like Christ is drawing
like a magnet.
Us together.
Yes. Right. That's exactly the picture that he's using there. He also writes, like in his book on the Lord's Supper, in the Supper of the New Covenant, the same victim which was sacrificed to God for our sins is also given to us in the Lord's Supper and shared in by the communicants, so that through this participation in this victim, we are joined to Christ and made partakers of all his merits. So again, this picture that as you come to the Eucharist, you receive the very victim that was upon the cross, the body and blood that were upon the cross for us. And that's how we become a participant in everything that he won for us. His life is given to us to be our life. He says again, therefore, in order that we might lay hold on Christ more intimately and retain him more firmly, not only did he assume our nature, but he also restored it again by distributing his body and blood to us in the supper, so that by this connection with his humanity, which has been assumed from us and is again communicated back to us, he might draw us into communion and union with the deity itself. You know, he's just reflecting there on what Jesus said in John 6, that the Father has life in himself. He's given to the Son to have life in himself. And the Son then gives the body or the flesh and the blood so that we might have that life in us, so that he becomes the means by which the life that's in the Godhead is communicated to us. It's not just Chemnitz. It doesn't stop there. And all the while, I want to stress, this is ringing out in the hymns. Beside all that we, you know, we've been listening to with this great hymn for Epiphany, if you just open up and look at what Lutherans sing during the distribution of the Eucharist, I want to get to one song in particular. There we go. 636. I'm going to learn these new numbers before we finally get done with this hymnal. Think about these words. Listen to this. Soul, adorn yourself with gladness. Leave the gloomy haunts of sadness. Come into the daylight splendor. There with joy your praises render. Bless the one whose grace unbounded this amazing banquet founded. He, though heavenly, high, and lowly, deigns to dwell with you most lowly. Hasten as a bride to meet him. Eagerly and with loving reverence greet him. For with words of life immortal, he's knocking at your portal. Open wide the gates before him, saying as you there adore him, grant, Lord, that I now receive you, that I nevermore will leave you. And this picture of intimate union that takes place through the receiving of the body and blood of Christ, just so beautiful.
If you have a low view of the sacrament, mm-hmm. which many Christians do.
If you regard it as an it instead of as a him.
Then you can't get there.
No.
You can't. No. This cannot be a possibility. Then you have nothing but mysticism.
Well, and by mysticism there, I think we mean imagination, right? You just have to kind of imagine it. Imagine that you're becoming one with Christ. It's very different from, fulfilling Psalm 81. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Quite literally, I will fill it. He enters into us through the gift of the food that he gives us to eat, the gift of his body and blood. It wasn't just Chemnitz. It's in the hymnody. And of course, it continued in later generations of the great dogmaticians. I'm going to go to the second layer of the dogmaticians, Johann Gerhard. He notes when he's writing about, talking about theology, his first book on the theology, if you will, in the first locus. He writes, theology takes its name from God, first by reason of its principal effective cause. Gotta love all the Aristotelian stuff. That it is a divinely revealed teaching, but secondly, and indeed, especially by reason of its subject or object, that it makes men divine or partakers of the divine nature. Johann Gerhardt lays it out there. Why do we call it theology? Well, because these are the words by which God makes us divine, by which he gives us a share in his own life. Similarly, thus this Holy Supper will transform our souls. This most divine sacrament will make us divine men until we finally shall enter upon the fullness of the blessedness that is to come, filled with all the fullness of God and holy like him. Sacred Meditation 20. You know, he couldn't say it any clearer. Similarly, the glory of the head, the glory of the members. Where our flesh reigns, there let us believe we too shall reign. Where our blood rules, there let us hope that we too shall be glorious. Though our sins forbid this, yet our participation in his holy nature makes it possible. Participation by grace through the sacraments, you participate in his nature. And he's like, so you're reigning with Jesus right now. Well, just like what Ephesians says, right? Ephesians chapter 2, you're seated with him in glory right now. You have that participation because you have become one with him. He has entered into you. You have entered into him.
And I want you to emphasize something here that you said earlier. To have Christ then is to have the Father and to have the Spirit. To have that we never, you talked about that interpenetratedness. What's the term again that's used there?
Perichoresis. I love that word.
and this notion that to have Christ dwelling in us is to have the Father and the Spirit dwelling in us, that we are even now being given to participate in the very life of the Trinity.
Right. I mean, you know, the best way to think about the about what worship is that worship is the Father sends the Son, who accomplishes this great salvation in our flesh, and then sends the Spirit to deliver that salvation to us by bringing us to the Son, that the Son can present us clothed in his own righteousness to the Father, so that God may be all in all. So, you know, I like to always use the image of the sticky hands. You know, like when the kids were in school, they would all do that thing where the Holy Spirit's like the sticky hand. He reaches out and grabs you to bring you to the Son, and the Son presents you to the Father, because it's always Trinitarian. The Son and the Spirit are the Father's life. The Spirit and the Father are the Son's life. They literally interpenetrate one another, so that when you receive, well, this is why St. Paul can say that you actually drink the Spirit. Like, where did that kind of language come from, right? You know, in 1 Corinthians, drinking the Spirit, what do you drink? The blood of Christ? Is that the blood that was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, that blood? It's like, oh yeah, I guess the Spirit is involved in the incarnation too. So, you know, the old way saying in the church is, in all the external works, you can't divide out who is doing what in any kind of a nice, neat order. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together work toward our salvation. And when you're dealing with the Father, you're dealing with the Son and the Spirit. When you're dealing with the Son, you're dealing with the Father and Spirit. When you're dealing with the Spirit, you're always dealing with the Son and the Father.
We're talking about the mystical union. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with him. We'll talk not only about the union, but also about the unity, because Christ's prayer, with which Pastor Wheaton began, is a prayer that we might be one with Christ, and Christ one with us, just as he is one with the Father, but also that we might be one with one another. We'll talk about that unity after this.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, the Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Another stanza of the hymn, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about the mystical union. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Much of what we've discussed here in this conversation had a strong influence on my thinking as a preacher, and I've documented some of that in a recent essay I've written for the Issues, Etc. journal called Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It's in the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's absolutely free and it's online. You can subscribe by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button, enter your email address, and we will send you the latest Issues, Etc. journal. That prayer that you started with, Jesus' high priestly prayer from John's Gospel, emphasizes not only the unity of Christ with the believer, but of the believer with the believer. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, if you live in Christ and Christ lives in you, and I'm looking across at him and I say, okay, that is the life that is inside of me is the same life that's inside of Pastor Wilkin, and say same life inside of Craig, same life inside of Jeff, same life inside of Deaconess. I mean, I can no longer look at you and say, oh, that's just Wilkin. I don't need to worry about him. All of a sudden it's become, oh man, his life is my life. Because we are together in Christ. And so the body of Christ, literally bind, in Christ, we are bound back together into being the people that God made us to be at the beginning that we fell from. I mean, we're each sort of, how did Franzman put it, each singly sought and claimed his own, each man his brother slew. That's what literally dies in baptism. And in Christ, joined together, we begin to have this new life, already living here on earth, what we're headed towards, where love will be reigning over all things, but we continue to grow in it as we live in this world. So I can't ever look at another member of the body of Christ and say, ah, that's just so-and-so. I'd say, that's my sister, that's my brother.
And as Paul will say, this casts a whole new light on Paul's description of the church as the body of Christ,
as a temple,
individual
right,
members,
right,
all
right,
those things.
Right, yeah, I mean, this is huge for both the image of the body and for the image of the temple.
The building.
The building, because he talks about us being God's temple, where the, in 1 Corinthians 6, The temple is individual. Your body is a temple. And that, you know, sort of like Gerhardt runs down that road. Let me give you more quote from him. Great indeed is the honor put upon our bodies, inasmuch as they're the dwelling places of our souls, redeemed and fed by the body of Christ. They are temples of the Holy Ghost, abodes of the adorable Trinity. It cannot be that they should ever remain in the grave, since they're nourished with the body and blood of our Lord. He is the wonderful bread of life. We partake of it and become one body with Christ. We're members of Christ. We're animated by his spirit. We're nourished by his body and blood. But because of that, then you have what he has in 1 Corinthians 3, where the temple is very much you together, all of us together. We're each living stones being built up into this temple for God, where he dwells by his spirit. And then we recognize, oh, wow, not only is he dwelling in me, he dwells among us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And you're like, wow, so Christ really is all in all. Baptism puts you into Jesus. Eucharist puts Jesus into you. And in the church, you're literally finding him being constantly put into you in the gathered assembly.
This is something that not the greatest Lutheran theologian, but Lutheran, in at least in this sense, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about in Life Together.
Yeah.
That Christ mediates.
Yeah.
He stands between every believer.
Yeah, yeah. I got to preach a wedding sermon for my niece last week, and it's one of the things that really, you know, how many times have I preached wedding sermons and it never really hit me? It's right there. Jesus said it. What God has joined together. I always heard that as, you know, like God reaching down and tying his leg to her leg. I was using the image of a three-legged race. You know, there you go. No, God is what joins together. He reaches down and he ties Maria's leg to his leg, and he ties his other leg to your leg, and then Todd, Jesus, and Maria, off they go. This is what marriage is to be about. And this is not just in marriage. This is what he does in the body of Christ. Like Bonhoeffer says, he stands between each one of us. And that doesn't make us be distant from each other. It makes us be more intimate with each other than we could ever, ever be if we're each sort of watching out for our own territory. The mystical union is the opposite of all that.
Finally, what is the comfort in this teaching of the mystical union for the Christian?
There is so much on that, I don't even know where to start. You know, I'm going to go to a German, to this hymn. Let all together praise our God. Beautiful hymn, Christmas hymn. Verse 4 in English runs, he undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us his realm, his glory, and his name. That is so weak. So weak. The German was much more gutsy. And Dr. John Stevens pointed this out to me many years ago. I've loved it ever since I saw it. Er wechselt mit uns wunderlich, exchanges with us in a wonderful way, nimmt an unser Fleisch und Blut, takes on our flesh and blood, und gibt uns in dein Vaters Reich, and gives us in his Father's kingdom, die klare Gottheit rein, the luminous Godhead there. He takes on our flesh and blood in order to give us the luminous Godhead, this light and warmth, this eternal love from which created all things in the beginning, which we have by our sin feared and doubted and run from. He comes to give it back to us and to plant it squarely inside of us. This comfort of knowing that we have been loved. We just sang it or heard them sing it. You know, eternal, almighty Father and your Son, you loved us when not yet begun was this old earth's foundation. Your Son has ransomed us in love to live in him here and above. This is your great salvation. This is it. He comes wrapping himself up in forgiveness to live inside of us that we might come to live entirely in him. The typical Roman Catholic picture is God injects grace into you that needs to grow. The biblical picture and the Lutheran picture is that he dumps you into this grace that is so all-encompassing that and you get to grow out into it. Doesn't need to grow. It's already whole. But you learn to live and expand into this love that's been given to you in Jesus more and more day by day.
Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio show called Thy Strong Word, and author of the books thank, pray, serve, and obey, recover the joys of piety, and celebrating the saints. Will, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
LCMS Worship has produced hymn studies, prayer, church music resources, and more. You can download them for free at lcms.org/worship. lcms.org/worship. After the break, Dr. Mark Kaltoff of Hillsdale College will join Dr. Ken Cherb for a conversation about the Declaration of Independence.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7. 618-223-8382.